John handed me this recorder before service. I told him, I said, I was at Donnie Bell's one time, and I noticed the recorder sitting on the pulpit, but I didn't think anything about it. I thought he'd already started it, and I laid my Bible down. And then I realized that I'd laid my Bible down on the microphone, so the first two messages I preached sounded like, So I'm trying to do this right, John. I think that's it. Yeah, it's counting, so that's a good sign, isn't it? If you would turn with me in your Bible to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. As most of some of you know, dear friends, have been tuning in on Mixler as we study through Joshua on Wednesday nights, and it's always so encouraging to me to hear from some of you afterwards and to see that we had so many listeners. And I think to myself, that's my friends in North Carolina. But the story before us this morning is a story that concerns a woman who's a harlot. She lives in a city that's marked for destruction. No effort is made at all to hide what she was. We're told here in verse 1, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Her house is said to be a harlot's house. And that's where the two spies of Israel lodged. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27, concerning the wiles of a harlot, he said this, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. But not this harlot. Not this harlot. She's an object of God's mercy and grace. That's the beauty of God's word. It never attempts to cover the kind of people that God saves. In God's word, Noah's sinful actions are declared. Abraham's shortcomings are given, revealed. Lot, Samson, Jacob, David, Solomon are all seen in the scriptures as they really are, sinners saved by grace. And that gives us such encouragement, doesn't it? God would save a wretch like me? And it's the same with Christ's apostles. You know, Thomas doubted the Lord Jesus. He wouldn't believe until he saw with his own eyes. And the Lord said, Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Philip didn't find Christ to be sufficient. He said, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And the Lord said, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Peter denied his master three times. Judas betrayed him. All the apostles forsook the Lord Jesus. And yet, other than for Judas, God in His mercy and in His grace saved them all. Now, the words harlot and saint just don't go together in our self-righteous way of thinking. Religion would prefer that we call Rahab a reformed harlot. They would prefer that we say she had changed and turned over a new leaf. Living for Jesus, I think, is used, the term's used often. Modern day religion would say that she became a better person, and because of that, God saved her. But every child of God knows that's not so. I think of Paul, who wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He referred to himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and one who was injurious. I don't know how to say that. Bruce would straighten me out on it when he speaks English a lot better than I do. But God showed him mercy in spite of those things. And Paul proclaimed, I obtained mercy. And every child of God will say that. I obtained mercy. Did you deserve it? No, that's what makes it mercy. And he obtained this mercy by his Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same with all God's elect, and it's certainly the case with Rahab. She too obtained mercy. I remember, I forget what anniversary it was, but it was the year of the pearls, whatever that is, and I bought Teresa some pearl earrings, and I went to the jeweler, and he showed me these and that, and I don't know anything about jewelry, but one thing that jeweler did is he took out a black felt backdrop and put those pearls against it, and boy, that pearl just popped, as we say. And just as that the diamonds and the pearls glitter against the jeweler's black backdrop, so does God's sovereign grace glitter in glory and in majesty against the black backdrop of our sin and depravity. This harlot, the same as all saved sinners, is made righteous one way by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She may be Rahab the harlot, but she's also Saint Rahab. And yet God will never let us forget that she was a sinner saved by the grace of God. She is forever referred to in the Scriptures as Rahab the harlot. And because of that, it can never be said that she was not an object of God's wondrous, matchless grace. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it's said of Rahab, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. Rahab, through the many messengers, she being an innkeeper, I'm sure many stayed in her house, and I'm sure she heard of the God of Israel. Well, we know that she did, as we'll see here in a moment. And I can just imagine these strangers coming into her home and them saying, Miss Rahab, did you hear what happened in Egypt? Did you hear what God did in Egypt, the God of Israel? Miss Rahab, do you hear what happened at the Red Sea? Did you hear what Israel's God did to those two kings, Sihon and Og? And, you know, that's what a preacher is. He's a messenger bringing the message for sinners to flee the wrath of God to come. Oh, Rahab heard some things. Her actions show that she truly believed God. If not, her faith would have proved not to be genuine, but it did. My dad used to use the term a lot, good folks. He'd say, so-and-so, they some good folks, you know. But the people of God are not saved because they're good folks. They consider themselves to be wretched. They consider themselves to be depraved. They considered themselves to be less than the least. Not just the least, but less than the least. They considered themselves to be the chief of sin. They're made holy and righteous by the substitutionary sacrifice and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners, not good folks. And I am a sinner. In verse 9 here, Rahab said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She said in another place, when we heard about your God, our hearts did melt. She heard some things. She believed the things she heard. Do you believe the things that we've heard this weekend? I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Look at verse 10. For we've heard How the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Verse 11, this is where she said that. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. How much do you have to know to be saved? It's who you have to know to be saved. She said, He's God in heaven above and He's God in the earth beneath. And we see here from Rahab's confession that she believed God and she bowed to His greatness. She heard, she believed, and she sought mercy. That's the order of things. We hear, and by God's grace and His power, we believe, and then we seek the Lord for mercy. We know we need help. Rahab lived in a doomed world, as I said, and she sought to be delivered one way, by the mercy and the grace of Joshua. You know that the name Joshua in the New Testament is translated Jesus, same name, Jehovah that saves. A picture of the gospel is seen how the Lord preserved the lives of the spies by her keeping her promise to them. She told them that she would let them down from the rooftop to escape the soldiers of Jericho by a scarlet cord. We all know what that scarlet cord pictures, don't we? How many wonderful messages have been preached on that. No doubt as to what that scarlet cord refers to, pictures and typifies. It pictures the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was that same scarlet cord that hung in her window that saved the spies, that also later saved the life of Rahab when Israel came to destroy Jericho. And it's the same with all of us. That's how we're all saved. By the precious blood, the scarlet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the blood on the door and the lintels of the houses of Israel in Goshen. Those who remained in the house were saved. Look at the word of the spies here in verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. In other words, stay in the house. Stay in the house. Come into the ark. Get to the city of refuge. Same thing. Same thing. Get to Christ. Be in Christ. I love the story of Rahab the harlot. It beautifully displays God's mercy and God's grace in the salvation of needy and undeserving sinners. God shows us our spiritual condition very often in the physical conditions of certain men and women found in the Scriptures. When I read about old blind Bartimaeus, I realize that I'm that blind beggar by the highway side begging for mercy. Oh God, give me eyes to see Christ. I'm that lame and impotent man laying at the pool of Bethesda called the House of Mercy. I cannot lift myself up into the angel-stilled water. He said, I have no man. And the God-man was standing right in front of him. I'm that man full of leprosy who the Lord can heal if He only will. And friends, He has never, never once turned down a needy sinner. Do you know if you want to be saved, you can be? He never turned down a needy sinner. Oh, I'm that man with the withered hand who could not work and do anything for himself. Christ must do for me what God requires of me. I'm like that woman with the issue of blood. And my issue of blood is a disease called sin. And I'm that deaf and dumb man that threw himself into the fire and into the deep waters, causing myself great harm and pain. Most of my trouble in life has been caused by none other than me. I'm that possessed man that lived among the tombs that needed divine deliverance. I'm Gomer, the harlot. I've sold myself out to my lovers of sin, and my only hope of redemption is that my Hosea, the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased me as I stand on that slave block and make me his own. And I am Rahab the harlot. And unless God do for me what he did for her, and provide me with the scarlet cord of Christ's precious blood, I will forever perish in my sin. Now in verse 20, the spies said, "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." She said, "According to your word, so be it. I believe it, so be it. Amen." Every child of God, that's what they say. Hey, so be it. "You're a wretched, no good sinner." That's right. "Yea, Lord, I'm a dog." But even the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. "Amen, Lord, so be it." And do you see what she did next? No sooner than they got out the door, Rahab hung that scarlet cord in her window. The Word of God says she bound it. I've pictured that in my mind so many times. How tight do you figure she tied it? I bet she knotted it, double knotted it, maybe even triple knotted it. And with each knot, she just pulled it as tight as she could. She didn't want that cord to come down out of that window, did she? No, that was her hope of redemption. That was how her Joshua would see. Oh, my. Now, these men did not tell her when they would return. I'm not sure they knew themselves. Rahab didn't know when Joshua was coming. And no man or no woman knows the day or the hour our Joshua will come. And I just wonder how often she checked that scarlet cord in her window. I wonder how many times. I'm sure it was every hour of every day. She'd walk through the house and she'd look over there. Yeah, it's still there. Maybe I'll go tighten it a little more. Oh God, keep me looking to the precious blood of Christ. Turn over a few pages with me to Joshua chapter 6. I want to say again, I've been so comforted by the messages of my dear brother this weekend. I'm learning to rest under that tree, brothers. By God's grace, I'm learning. I'm learning to rest in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that's not put under Him. He's the God with whom we have to do. He's our Joshua. In Him alone we can rest. Doug, when He takes a man... When does it take a man or woman to truly rest? When their work's finished. And Christ has finished the work for us, and we can rest. God, help me to rest. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." What do we say to our children and grandchildren when they're when we're trying to teach them something? We say, see? Pay attention. Oftentimes we say, see, I told you so. That's what the Lord doing here. See? See? God had already defeated Jericho. He had already said, I've given you the land and I've delivered you from every enemy there. God's already defeated all our enemies, friends. There's no battle for us to fight. Mike just sung that. The conflict's over. There's no more war. It's finished. The victory's already ours. And the Lord continues His instructions here in verse 3. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thou shalt, thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now let me just make a few comments about God's commission to Israel here. And I think they very, very clearly reveal what it is to declare and preach the gospel. The first evident thing to me is that the preaching of the gospel is repetitive. I've heard men stand to preach and say, I don't have anything new for you. We better not. We better not, have we, John? It's repetitive. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Continual hearing. And not just any hearing, but true hearing. The hearing of the truth. Our Lord confirmed that by saying to His Father, Thy Word is truth. God's commission for Israel was to do the same thing. Not just one day, but for 6. And then on the 7th day, that many times, 7 times. And this was both the responsibility, as we read, of the priest and the men of war. You see, God has given this responsibility to His church. Not just the preachers, not just the pastors. He's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. And what a practice of war this was. It too was an exception to the rule. They made no contact with the people. They marched around the city in silence, and the priest blew the ram's horn. And that's the one thing that we must do. It's the means that God uses to save sinners. We blow the single note of the gospel horn. Don't you know that everyone in Jericho was scared out of their mind? You know they had to be. They'd heard. Rahab had already said, we've heard what your God did. And our hearts have melted. And they're locked into the city. Nobody goes in and nobody goes out. They're hunkered down. They're scared to death. And they, you know, they're looking over the wall. And they're seeing Israel walk around the city. And then they blow the sound of the ram's horn. Everyone was scared out of their mind. What are they doing? What's that sound? What does all this mean? But there's a harlot living in the city on the wall that cannot fall. And when she heard that ram's horn, she rejoiced. She wasn't afraid. She rejoiced. It was the single note of the gospel that her Joshua had come to save her. Oh my. That's why we rejoice in the gospel. It's that note, that single note, that Christ came in this world to save sinners. Each day Rahab woke up to the sound of the ram's horn, and each night she laid down her head in full assurance that salvation and deliverance would soon be hers. And the ram's horn struck terror in the hearts of all those in the city who heard it. Why? Because they didn't know what it meant. It's the same with preaching the true gospel today. People don't understand it. But to Rahab, the sound of that one note was the sweetest sound that she ever heard. That singular note of good news, the gospel assured her that her deliverance and salvation was coming, certain and sure. Though the walls had not yet fallen, though she had not yet been delivered, her salvation was as sure on the first day as it was on the last. And what a picture of Christ going before us we have here in these instruments of war that Joshua used. Were they carrying spears and swords and shields? No, they're simply walking around the city. And the Ark of the Covenant was carried upon the shoulders of the priest. What a picture of Christ going before us as we lift Him up in preaching. He's all that we need. Christ fought the battle of Jericho, not Joshua. God had given Joshua and Israel the city. They'd given them Jericho's king, the mighty men of valor, according to verse 2. And our perfect Savior did a perfect work, provided a perfect sacrifice, wrought a perfect righteousness for His imperfect people. And that is the gospel. Best news this sinner ever heard. In verse 4, we're told there were seven priests and seven horns, and it's on the seventh day. As you know, seven is the number of completion. Friends, our work is finished. It's perfectly finished. Perfectly complete. We have a perfect result, and it's there that we can rest. Will you rest? Our work's finished. As Bruce said, there are no chairs in the tabernacle. You know why? The priest's work was never finished. Never finished. But friends, Christ, the great high priest, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down. Where did He sit? At the right hand of God. For by one offering, He, our great high priest, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What was another instrument of battle? Well, we see that they had the horn, and on the last day, the shout. Now, you tell somebody, a soldier, well, here's how we're going to defeat the enemy. We're going to take a horn and blow it, and we're going to shout at them. They think he's crazy. The enemies of God were already defeated, and they were defeated by a noise and by a voice. The voice of the trumpet and the voice of a man, both a single note, the same note over and over. That's what preachers are. We're just voices crying in the wilderness, and we blow that single note in our preaching. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Come to the waters. There's a river that never runs dry. Christ is that river. And Jason, it's a one-note musical masterpiece. I found it interesting that the ram's horn in the original language doesn't just mean the horn itself, but also the sound that it makes. The phrase comes from that word jubilee. It's not just preaching that saves, friends. It's the sound. It's the message of the preacher. It's what we preach. There's a lot of people preaching, but they're not preaching salvation. They're not preaching salvation in Christ. And then Paul didn't say, woe unto me if I preach not. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Big difference. It's the message of Christ crucified that saves. That's why we never grow tired of hearing it. Tell me again how Christ died for sinners like me. This horn that the priest blew was the same horn that was used to begin the year of Jubilee. And at the sound of the ram's horn, with that singular bright note and sound that it made, the slave was set free. Do you hear me? The debtor was now forgiven. And all that was lost was now returned. Look down at verse 21. And they, being Israel, utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. I've heard people say, boy, that's a bloody, bloody gospel that you preach. The holy justice of God. Somebody told me one time, and I know I've heard other people say that they've been told this. He said, you're God, my devil. Well, he may be, but you better get ready to deal with the devil then, because he's God. And what he does is always good. Joshua had said unto the two men, verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country. Now look at this. Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. In verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, in her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. James said that Rahab was justified by works, but that doesn't mean that the Lord saved her because she did this. This was the result. This was the fruit of her justification. Faith without works is dead being alone. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. Because of what Christ has done for us. And as I picture this, Rahab walking through that city, devastation everywhere she looked. People she'd known all her life gone, dead. Slain by the sword. But her mind and her heart's not on Jericho anymore. She's going to forever be a citizen of a new kingdom in whom the King of Kings reigns. And Rahab married Salmon and gave birth to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz married Ruth, and to her was born Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And the Lord Jesus Christ was David's son, but he was David's Lord. What a gospel. What a gospel. What a Savior. You know, used to I'd hear messages like I've heard this weekend, and I'd say, what a message, what a sermon. And now, by God's grace, I say, what a Savior. What a God. What a gospel. And friends, if God saved a harlot like Rahab, then there's hope for wretches like you and me. And I want you to rest there. Just sit and rest. There's nothing for you to do. The work's been finished. The conflict's over. May God be pleased to make it so, for His glory, our good, and for Christ's sake. Let me say again how much I love you and appreciate all that you've done for us. And it's just wonderful to be here. Words can't describe it, so I won't even try. But thank you, and I love you. Thank you, Brother John.